Welcome to the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast, and my name is not Trevor Reddick. I am Brandon Siegel, and look, today's podcast, we are going to be without Trevor. Very sad, but that's okay because I'm joined by another amazing co-host of this podcast who's finally here. I mean, he's such a slacker. I talk about this on Small Baller Podcast as well. He just misses so much. That is, of course, my ex-roommate, dear friend, Ben O'Brien. Ben, how are you?
Wait, were you on the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast last week? I can't remember.
It's,
were you
there? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It's neither here nor there. Right. It's irrelevant.
Fair. Were you on the week before that? I don't.
That's also remember.
there's a lot going on. I know, but I was with someone, but I don't think it was you.
I'm pretty sure it was me. I'm pretty sure I was there. But you're lying to the people.
I'll say this, Brandon. I'll say this. I'm happy to be here. We've done a few podcasts, just the two of us. And I really do think when Trevor's not here and it's us two, it's like having 2 8-year-olds with no adult supervision.
It's
pandemonium.
It is
dangerous. This could go off the rails very, very quickly.
Yes.
So,
it's dumb and dumber
with adult
two
supervision.
Mics.
Yeah. The fact that Trevor's allowing this to happen is a little bit concerning for just kind of where he's all at mentally, but we'll see what happens. We're going to try to produce a good product, but I can't guarantee that that's going to happen.
I'm with you on that. I mean, look, this was a giving us this opportunity. It is genuinely like, giving a I don't even know what analogy I was gonna do here. But look, it's Dumb and Dumber behind
probably
the
some
mics.
Stupid one.
It was gonna be a dumb analogy. Two little toddlers behind mics here, and we'll see what we can produce here. I mean, I don't know. It could go off the rails. We might not even talk about Big Brother today. We might not. We might hit a couple different subjects. But good. at least maybe Ben will start in Big Brother. We'll at least start
Let's
in
do
Big
it.
Brother.
Yeah.
All right. So this week of Big Brother, we had a secret HOH, and they were very secretive about who it was for a little bit. We didn't know. And then it ended up being the Jag 1 HOH. What a surprise that the male-dominated winning competition season was won by Jag. So Jag is the secret HOH. And, right when we got the news he won, I was like, okay, please don't put up Corey or America. That would be sad. I don't want that to happen. I feel like we all were like that, everyone. And we were really excited after he won, and he was talking about not putting them up, and then he didn't put them up. He put up, I think it was Felicia and Blue. So, Ben, your thoughts here on Jag winning HOH? It feels like he's won, like, every single competition. Yeah. And his original nominations.
So I was surprised when he said it was his first HOH win, because I'm like, what? Is it really? But I guess it was. He seems like he's won everything. So, I liked the fact, like, his argument for not putting up Corey and America first, I guess, made sense. He's like, I don't want to go after the only other, like, strong duo in the house, because once they're taken out, then it's just me and Matt. Everybody's looking at me and Matt. So I get it. I don't hate that decision at all. Him putting up Felicia and Blue, I mean, neither one of them are great players, so I understand it would have been kind of like a safe move in the first place, and obviously Corey and America were totally behind that. So I don't hate the decision. I don't think it was like a bad decision for him to put up Felicia and Blue. Again, obviously that didn't happen or that didn't stick. But in terms of Jag's HOH, I'll say this about the twist, Brandon, because I know you're very much anti twist, and I typically am too. I actually didn't hate the twist at all. I think it's a decent idea. You know, having these decisions be made with no blood on your hands, and it's chaos. Nobody really knows what's happening. And part of it worked out, I think, the way that the producers wanted it to, but the other part of it didn't. So I'm kind of indifferent about it. Obviously, I think I'd much rather prefer just a typical week where we know who the HOH is and they have to make decisions knowing that people are going to be upset and going to be backlashing and things like that. But I thought it was an interesting thing to try. I don't know if Jag necessarily was the best person to have that kind of power. Like, I think if, like, Brandon, imagine this. Imagine if Ceree had a secret HOH. I feel like she would have made it very entertaining for us. Because she would have taken as many shots as she possibly could. And I guess Jag ultimately took a shot. But I don't hate what Jag did with the secret HOH. And I think it was a decent twist. But it's just kind of whatever. Again, I'm anti-twist in the first place. So in terms of Blue and Felicia going up at first, it's fine. It's whatever. I mean, he has reason to put him up. Him and Trevor and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but Jag and Blue's relationship has gotten – it's weird because I feel like they had a really strong relationship early in the year, and then all of a sudden it kind of dropped off and things happened. And I think Blue becoming really strongly allied with Jared kind of hurt that relationship between Jag and Blue. So yeah, I mean, Jag's been someone that has been kind of after Blue or keeping Blue on his radar for a few weeks now. So it made sense. And then again, Felicia has kind of just been a pawn at this point. So I don't hate the decision. I get it. I understand where he was coming from at the beginning of his week.
Yeah, so, I mean, twists suck. This twist also sucked. I mean, Jag was unanimously voted out, and now he's HOH. Not back-to-back weeks, but he was unanimously voted out not that long ago and got saved by a twist. Who would have thought? So these nominations also don't really make sense. Targeting Blue for Jag is not a good idea. Blue trusts Jag. Jag just doesn't trust Blue, which makes sense. She just rats out information everywhere to everyone. So it actually, like, for Jag, it doesn't make sense. And I don't really understand why you did that. Felicia, I guess, doesn't really matter. I wouldn't say they're closely aligned. But Jag, I mean, they talk about this on the episode. Jag wants to go to the end without Corey in America. And, you know, he talked about it, but then he didn't put them up. And that was the right decision. And the thing is, the logic of, like, I don't want to get the other big duo out because then everyone's going to target this big duo. Everyone's targeting Jag and Matt anyway. They win everything. They're targeting them anyway. And also, it's not like it's final 10. It's final 7. Guys are wait, fine. It was final 8 at the beginning of the week. Final 8, you guys, you two duos are half the people on here, you know? And I think what's interesting, and Corey the whole week is like, if I was up, I'm putting Jag and Matt up. And he talked about, like, I can't believe Jag isn't doing this. We'll talk about Corey in a little bit. I love Corey. He's my favorite on the season. I am unimpressed with him the last couple weeks, and especially this week. But I think, like, if you look at from Jag's perspective, he's like, I don't need to take the shot yet. This is the week. This is when you should do it. And he did end up doing it. But the original noms, I think this week went exactly how I would describe Jag's game. Jag got bailed out because he won competitions, but he started off making bad decisions, and then it ended up getting to the right decision, and it kind of fell into his lap because of America talking to Blue about, like, which America was right. America was like, hey, Blue, you're the target.
She was right. Yeah.
And Blue isn't, she's, I don't know if she's playing the same game as America, because Blue was the target. I don't know why she thinks she's cool with someone when she's on the block by that person. So that was a little bit confusing. But we get to the vetoes. There's multiple vetoes apparently this week, because that's a staple in Big Brother. So we had two vetoes. The first one, Jag won, and the second one, Blue won. So Blue got to take herself off. Jag used the veto, put up America and Corey, which was the original smart thing to do. I will say, America's reaction to this, I was, like, so surprised, because I understand, like, being upset. Like, it's more than reasonable she was upset. I get that. But I'm surprised, like, she was so surprised. Like, they're the other duo in the house, and Jag is up. Even if you think you're so cool with them, everyone's trying to win the game, and America knows that they would have put up them. So, like, to me, I was like, why are you so surprised they did this? This, like, makes some amount of sense. Not some amount of sense. That is probably who I target, them or Suri. And I feel like I feel like this week should have been a win-win. It should have been, we put up Corey in America, for Jag at least. You put up Corey in America. If one of them take themselves off, you put up Suri. No one knows it's you. No one cares. Like, cool. And that's that. So that's what was, I think, really weird about this Jag HOH. Corey, these past couple weeks, I'm really sad that Corey left. As you guys know, ultimately, Corey got unanimously voted out. I'm really sad Corey left. He's my favorite on this season, and he's probably the last player that was on the season that I really, really liked. Everyone else, I'm like, whatever. Corey, I love. I love everything about Corey. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a solid game player. But the last couple weeks, he has been so comfortable in this house. Basically, ever since he got that flip on Izzy, you know, the last three, 4 weeks, he's been so comfortable. And it's gotten to the point where he just made a ton of bad moves. Like, a ton. Him and America, frankly, because they played very similar games. And I think they're both very capable players, and they both have the ability to do well on a non-showmancy season. But they played so bad these last couple weeks, so sloppy, and just were unable to get out of this hole that they didn't even really know that they were in. As sad as I am to see Corey go, I wouldn't even say I'm that unhappy, because like, Corey kind of did to himself. He played bad. He just played bad at the end, and that got him to this point, and now he's gone. Ben, what do you think about this?
Well, I don't disagree with you. And again, like, Corey's a good player, and we all knew that he was a good player. I think from pretty early on, we kind of, like, he had some high expectations. Trevor was obviously very high on him. on paper, he was a very good player. And he ended up being a great player. He was probably the second best player in the house for most of the season. But I agree with you. It seems like after
he's the third best. Saree and Matt are both pretty.
You think Matt? Like, okay, that's fine.
Matt's been amazing. He's been real good.
Has he?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, and you know more than I do. I feel like on the episodes they don't really show, like, he doesn't talk a lot of strategy. I feel like on the episodes they don't show a lot of it.
I think Matt's biggest thing that he's really great at doing, two things. Number one, he's a really good listener. Like he's very, very good at having conversations with people and saying the right stuff. Which it sounds like such a simple thing to do. But he's very, very receptive to information given to him, and he's good at like not necessarily saying it and keeping it. He's built really good relationships with almost everyone in the house. Like, everyone really likes Matt. And I do think people would target him just because he's a big physical threat, but I don't think people would want him out. And I think Matt should do everything in his power to keep Jag, because Jag is his shield currently. Most people would want Jag out over Matt. So I think Matt has played a really, really great game, and he's done very well socially in the game. He has a wonderful balance of everything in the game, social, physical, mental aspects.
All right, good. I like to hear that because he's on my team and I like him. But in terms of Corey, like, you're right. I feel like after he got out Izzy, and you know, he was the kind of the one that orchestrated that whole flip or whatever, I feel like he almost, like, I don't want to say he got cocky, but he almost got, like you said, very complacent. He got comfortable. Like, I think he was like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm running this show. And for whatever reason, like, obviously that's off-putting to a lot of people. And people start to realize, like, if Corey's going to think that he's running this stuff, running this show, running this game, then we're going to do something about it. And that's why I think he became a target these last couple weeks, because people realize, one, he's good, but him and America are so comfortable, and they think they're buddy-buddy with everyone, and they think they can control everyone, and it's just off-putting to the rest of the house. So that's why they became such a target. And I'm sad to see Corey go. Again, he's a good player. I liked him. Him and America together were fun. But ultimately, I mean, it's a good move for Jag, and even Corey will say so, because Corey's like, I was going to come after Jag and Matt next week. So Jag made the right move, and when in hindsight, like looking back on it, even Corey would say it was the right move. So it's a big move. It's a huge move in this game. Again, it's a huge blindside. Neither one of them really saw it coming, because they thought they were so, you know, comfortable with Jag and all that. So it was entertaining. I actually really did enjoy watching that whole thing play out, because again, Jag said everyone in the house knew what was going to happen except for America and Corey. Which is always the best, kind of the best blind sides when the person that's, you know, that's getting punished for whatever has no idea what everybody else kind of expects it coming. So, again, big move, especially when Jag is this, you know, quote unquote secret HOH, but everybody knows he's the HOH, and America and Corey know who's coming after them when Jag makes those nominees. So, it was interesting, and even I'll give Corey some respect, because even after he gets, you know, up on the block against America, he's like, look, I like America, but I'm trying to stay this week. I'm going to try to at least make some sort of attempt to stay this week. And ultimately it didn't work, but I respect him for not saying, like, I'm going to fold in the towel. Just, I want you to keep America here. Like, I'm going home. I like the fact that he at least made some sort of effort to try to stay this week. Meanwhile, America did, Brandon, and I know you'll agree with me this. I'm not a huge fan of America. Just like, and I get it. I don't want to tell her how she should feel. And I'm not going to act like I know what she's going through, but I'm not a huge fan of her, like, basically just throwing in the towel because she's up next to Corey. I hate that. Yeah, and especially as big of a fan as her, I'm not a huge fan of that.
I think the episode made it seem a little more like that than it actually was.
That's fair. Okay, fair enough.
Which Corey tried to do more than she did, but ultimately, I think they both knew this. The writing was on the wall for Corey. He's perceived as a much bigger threat, even though their games are incredibly similar. Like, very similar, even physically, like in competitions. America's done really well in competitions multiple times. She's come in second, I think, like 4 or 5 times, and she's thrown some of those, like specifically the pressure cooker. I think she could have won that one, and she probably should have. So I think it was made to look like that a little bit. Also, I think Corey, people really, not that they don't like America, but people love Corey, and I think they wanted to show a little more Corey on the episode, especially as this is his last week and it was not going to be America's last week. And they, by the time the episode, like Tuesday's episode was on, they, like Big Brother, like production probably knew that Corey was probably gone. I honestly don't know. I wish Trevor was here to confirm this. I feel like the flip for Corey from Blue, Felicia, and Saree was real at a point in time, like in their minds, like they were like really thinking about it. I wish Trevor was here to confirm, because I don't know. But I have a feeling that was like a thought process because he was right. He would be a big target if he stayed. They clearly were trying to get him out. And it might have been for Jag or for Matt specifically. It might have been solid to do. For Jag, definitely think getting Corey out was a good decision. But I think for Matt, I think that potentially could have been an interesting possibility if Corey did stay. But I don't know. I'm not sure. Ben, anything else you want to mention on the episodes this week before we look forward to our rankings?
This doesn't really matter, but like, what was up with that veto competition being like off the lot? Like, it was like somewhere else. It was outside somewhere. It was like on a different lot. What is up with that? That makes no sense.
I think this is the second time this season they were not in the house for a competition.
Yeah, it's the same lot that they used for that stupid, like, scary competition where they get scared or whatever.
Oh, with the envelopes.
Those
houses.
Yeah. Well, because those houses were there and they used it at night, but like,
why?
What's the reason for that? I'm just curious, like, why they did that.
I don't know, but apparently they've been doing this a little bit more where they take them out of the house. I wonder what the process is to get them out there.
Oh my gosh, dude. I don't know if it's just,
pictures.
Right outside the house? Like,
it's right outside.
It's on the lot still?
Okay. Like, it shares a wall,
like a
pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have, like, those prop houses. I'm really not sure. I'm very interested myself, and I'd like to know. But when it showed up, I was like, Trevor, they're not in the house. And he's like, no, that's just a backdrop. I'm like, no, they're not in the house. That's not how the backdrop looks.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it was just
he's
weird.
Like, he was telling me, he's like, no, really, they're in the house. I'm like, Trevor, I do not think they're in the house.
Well, you can tell because, like, the lighting was different. It was, like, natural sunlight. Like, it just looks different. Like, when they do those comps in the backyard, like, it's darker because the walls are super high.
Yeah.
It just looked like they were outside. It looked like they were, like, in like, a park almost.
Right.
So it was just, again, that doesn't really matter. I was like, what is going on? Like, is this upcoming HOH competition such a big deal that they had to start prepping for it early? It threw me off. It was something you don't see very often. So it was kind of refreshing, honestly. It's kind of refreshing to see them in a different environment than what we're used to seeing them for the last 75 days. So
again,
that's just my stupid
refreshing analysis.
That's how my stupid brain works, where I'm like, oh, these same people in a different place. I like that. That's cool. So
yep.
That's how my brain works.
I agree. All right, Benny, let's get to some ratings here. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with America, as we have every single week. I do really like America. Unfortunately, this was a pretty terrible week for her. She escaped eviction, which is the only good thing that's happened for her, but her number one ally, and pretty much, I mean, to be honest, her, like, only actual ally in the house is gone. I think there's a decent shot if she doesn't, like, if Blue wins HOH, if Jag or Matt win HOH, America's probably almost surely on the block. Sari, Felicia, and Bowie. If Bowie wins HOH, she's probably surely on the block too. So it's pretty much just Sari and Felicia that I don't think would initially target America. I feel like Sari could influence Felicia to put up Jag and Matt. I think that possibly very well could happen if they win. So America's in a pretty terrible spot. It's unfortunate. I do like America. I'm a big AmeriCorey fan. But it's going to result with a 3 for me this week, which is down a point from the average of last week from the guys. Trevor also gave America a 3. Benny, what are your thoughts on America?
Well, real quick on America and Corey, we've been saying it wrong, Brandon. It's not America. It's not America.
It is America.
Trevor's been saying it. It's Core America.
No,
it's Core America. That's what the house
is
calling it.
The only people that call it Core America are America and Corey and Julie. Everyone else in the world calls them AmeriCorey, and it will
That's
be AmeriCorey.
That's not true. Sari called them AmeriCorey.
I refuse to let this happen on this podcast. Trevor and I talked about this yesterday. We are not doing this. This podcast is calling it AmeriCorey. That's what we're doing.
All right. That's fine.
It's
AmeriCorey. Again, if Trevor wants to go against, you know, the almighty Sari, who called it Core America, then that's fine. But that, Sari that reflects
is always
poorly on Trevor's
wrong.
Character.
She's always wrong.
I agree with
shouldn't
you.
Be
I
on
just
the season.
Make sure.
And it's AmeriCorey.
I agree with you. I just want to make sure we establish the fact that we are disagreeing with Sari, because this podcast as a whole is taking the stand that we are anti-Sari on this season. I just want to make sure
I
that's
do not
clear.
I mean, look, let's do a poll of everyone that's on the podcast today.
Let's do it.
I don't like Sari being on this season because she's
either.
A returner and
either.
Got a big advantage. Okay, that's two. Is there any dissenting votes? I don't see anyone on the couch here with me, Ben. I don't know about you over there, but
there's no
dissenting votes over here.
So what that means is
a little bit.
We can put out a tweet that says the the small ballers unanimously agree that Cerise should not be on this season.
Yep.
That's a tweet that we can put out. That's a headline.
Yes.
Anyway, about America. Sorry, not to get off topic, but that's what happens when Trevor's not here.
No worries. No worries, Ben. I think that was reasonable. It was a reasonable America, off topic.
I agree. In terms of America, I mean, the only thing that she has going for her at this point is she can argue, well, I lost my number one ally. I'm alone in this house, whatever. I don't know if that's going to work. Because again, the actions that she's made in the past, I think, have upset people. In the way that, you know, that she's had some sloppy gameplay. So I don't know if her saying, well, I'm alone, you shouldn't come after me, is going to work. We'll see. I will say, sometimes after like someone's significant other or someone's, you know, number one, somebody's showmance goes home, there are times when that remaining house guest becomes a very dangerous player, because it's almost like they focus, they lock in, they have a new way of looking at the game. They kind of have the freedom to do what they want. They're not worried about someone else kind of playing with them. I don't know if that's going to be America, but I'm just saying that there is a potential that she becomes a decent player in terms of making decisions for herself and not worried about what her and Corey are doing. So we'll see. I gave her a 3. I agree with you guys, just because in terms of where she stands right now, she's not in a good position. She's an easy target to put up. She's with Corey, who, you know, again, both of them have upset a lot of people in this house over the last however many weeks. So she'd be someone that just makes sense for really anyone to put on the block. So we'll see what happens, but her score is low and she's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Okay, let's continue on here to Blue. Blue went on the block this week by someone she considers one of her bigger allies in the house. She incorrectly read it and got lucky and got taken off. I will say she did do a little bit of work technically. She took America's information and got herself off. But really, that was the right decision at the start. And probably a conclusion I feel like they would have come to anyway. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I would, again, wish Trevor was here to combat that statement if it wasn't true. But Blue is not going to win this game, and I don't think she's in a good position. I think actually a decent amount of people would target Blue. Certainly Jag and Matt would probably both put her up again. I could see Ceri potentially putting her up. Probably not, but maybe. Bowie, I think, is on board with Jag and Matt pretty hardcore, and I could see her putting up. America would certainly put up. She'd definitely put up Jag, potentially Blue, I guess. Maybe that'd be her like renom option. So Blue is a little bit in the crosshair here, and she's just really bad at the game. Not much more to say about Blue here. It's a 3 for me. Trevor also agrees with me because he knows how wonderful and intelligent I am and smart about this game. So he agreed with me as a 3. Ben, do you also agree with me for the same reasons?
I agree with Trevor. I do agree with Trevor. I gave her a 3 as well. She's not good. She's just not that good. And I don't really know what her strategy is. I don't really know what her end game plans are. I think she kind of just goes with the flow. I don't think she plans anything out more than like a day in advance. Like, oh, America told me this, I'm going to go tell Jag. And then she doesn't think about anything else until something else has to happen where she has to think about it. Like, I just don't think she has any long-term strategy in terms of this game, which is not good. You have to be able to plan some things out steps ahead. So she's not good. I don't think she's going to win. She's in trouble. I mean, she's already been put up a few times. And I think she's going to continue to be put up just because she's someone easy to put up. She's kind of alone in this house. So it's a 3 for me. I agree with Trevor 100%. I always agree with Trevor.
Interesting. Well, you agreed with me there as well, and I said it first, so that means that I'm right. All right, yeah, next whatever. Up we have Bowie. Bowie is so interesting. She I don't even understand her place in this game. Yet it's not that bad, honestly. She just has no winnability. So that's why I'm going to give her a low rating, but she definitely is going to last longer in my opinion than like an America or Blue. So I gave her a 3.5. And I'm not saying she's dead in the water at all, but she's one of the worst players in the house, if not the worst player. So it's going to be a 3.5 for me, Ben. We'll say Trevor's rating after your rating. We'll see if he copies me or you.
Yeah, I'm giving her 4. I gave her 4 last week. The only reason I continue to give her like 4s and not 2s is because she's going to be in the final 3. Like there's no way she's not in the final 3, right? Like she's for sure going to be there because for the most part, and I guess I can't say she never wins comps because she won 1, but she's not going to win a competition in the final 3. So if you and your ally are in the final 3 with her, like, you know, you're pretty sure that you guys can get to the final 2, or at least you have a good chance of winning one of those competitions. So she really hasn't done anything. She was HOH for a week, but other than that, She hasn't done anything. She's not going to do anything. The best part was, like, Brandon, last week when she won HOH, she was like, all right, I'm gonna use my, I've been showing everyone my DJ side, but I'm going to use my lawyer side to make some moves. And then she ultimately didn't really do anything. She just got out Cam, who everybody wanted out anyway. And then she's right back to kind of just doing nothing again. So I'm curious where that lawyer side went, because I saw it for like all of 5 seconds on an episode, and I really haven't seen it other than that. So not an impressive player. Kind of, again, there's weeks to go by where I forget that she's even in the house. I forget that she's playing the game. I think she forgets that she's playing the game sometimes. So I don't have a lot to say about her. It's a 4 for me, just because she probably will be in the final 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she could be the GOAT at the end, just bringing her along. Who knows? We'll have to see. Yeah. Trevor agreed with you, Ben. You're so smart.
Of course she did. Also gave her a 4. Of course she did.
Next up, we have Ceri. So for a little bit there, Ceri was on top of the world, playing such an amazing game. And then it all crumbled when Izzy left the house. Quite a surprise to Ceri. And now Ceri has done really well again. She has done just such a great job building relationships. One thing that Trevor told me is Blue's conversation with Jag, where she explained about the America conversation of, like, what America told her. Ceri coached her through that, apparently, and how to say that to go the right way.
Really?
Apparently, that's what Trevor said, and I believe Trevor. I believe that's my really housemate. Cool. So that was very impressive from Blue and Ceri in that instance. And Ceri's done a really great job building relationships. It'll be interesting if we could get, like, Jag, Matt, and Ceri in the end, and Matt wins that final HOH. I am very interested as to who he brings. And if Matt and Ceri sit in those final two chairs, I was talking about this with Trevor yesterday. If they sit in the final two chairs, I would be so interested to see who wins, because I really don't know who would win. I don't know.
That'd be tough.
I want to say Matt. I think Matt would win, but I think it'd be really close, and it would be fun going in for once, not knowing who would win. I think it'd be tough because if Matt won the final HOH and Ceri didn't, and Matt has competitions under his belt and Ceri doesn't, I think that's going to be tough for Ceri to win. But nevertheless, Ceri is an excellent, excellent, excellent social player. I would argue, in terms of watching Big Brother, she might have the best social game I've seen from watching a Big Brother player. Granted, she's had some practice, which is a little unfair compared to some other players who have had great social games, but she's just so phenomenal. Everything she says is the correct thing to say, and she never really messes up. So I'm very impressed with Ceri, unfortunately. I'm not her biggest fan. I don't like her son at all. Her son sucks, and I hope she doesn't win, but look, Ben, she's a great player. I gave her a 7. Trevor agreed with the 7. What is your rating this week for Ceri?
I gave her a 7 as well. I agree with Trevor, of course, but she's a good player, and again, I don't hate her at all. So, like, she's fun to watch. I don't like that she's on the season because, again, she was born on third base. She already had way more experience than everyone else, and she had a number one ally that was, she knew for a fact, was 100% on her side. No question about it. No one else had that ability. So again, she was put in a favorable situation when she didn't really need to be put in a favorable situation. She would have been just fine being in there by herself. So that, again, that's why, and I've expressed that many times, and Trevor can't be here to defend her, so I can keep saying it. But that's just how I feel about her. But in terms of this game, she's so good at it that I guess she's so bored with just playing her own game that now she's helping Blue play her game just because she's like, I'm bored, this is too easy. Which shows how good she is because she's amazing. So, yeah, 7 for me. I will say, Brandon, if she's in the final chairs with Matt, first of all, if Matt's in a position where he's got to pick between Jag and Ceri, that's tough because it'd be hard to beat either one of them in the final two. Because all three of those people, I think, would have good arguments for why they should win the game if any of them are in that situation. So that'd be actually an awesome scenario if you have Jag, Matt, and Ceri in the final three, because I think all three of them would be somewhat deserving and all three of them would have decent arguments to win. So that's kind of the dream, but we're not there yet. Again, in terms of Ceri, she's a good player. She's one of the best. She's the best player in the house. She's been the best player in the house since the second she walked in there. And she's probably not going home anytime soon because she really hasn't done a whole lot on the surface since Jared went home. She's laid pretty low. She's had some conversations. She had that conversation with Felicia this week, basically all about how they just got to keep dodging bullets and everyone else is going to be firing at each other and they're just going to sit back and watch, which is probably true. And Ceri, better than anyone, should know how to kind of manage that situation and navigate that situation. she absolutely knows what it takes. She knows what she has to do to get to the final three or whatever it may be. And I think she's got a really good chance of doing that.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility. I'm interested to see if she can win a competition here at the end, but I don't know. We'll see. Let's look next at Felicia. It's been a rough couple weeks for Felicia. She's been on the block a lot. I don't frankly think Felicia has a lot of ability to get herself off the block or talk herself into relationships at this point. She's solid with Sari right now. And everyone likes Felicia. But I wouldn't say her position's the best. I gave Felicia a 4. I don't see a great path for her forward to winning the game. And that's kind of why I put her at that 4 rating. It just seems like she's going to be put up a lot in the next couple of weeks. If she can continue to stay, will be put up a lot. I'd be interested in a Felicia HOH. I'd love to see who she'd target. Trevor gave her a 4.5, so a little higher than me. Ben, who do you agree with here? Or do you have a different rating?
I gave her a 5. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had a thought like yesterday when I was watching one of the episodes about like, I actually think she's in a really good position, and I don't remember why I was thinking that, but I gave her a 5. And I gave her a 5 last week, I think. Yeah, I did. So I really don't think she's in a – here's why I don't maybe here's what I was thinking. This is how dumb I am. I don't even remember what I was thinking like 12 hours ago. But I think that – if Felicia's on the block, which you're right, she's probably going to be on the block a lot in the next couple weeks. And the issue is that she won't be able to win a veto competition to take herself off. So that's an issue. But I do think that if she's on the block, I think pretty much everyone else, except for maybe Bowie, would be a bigger target against her if she was on the block. America's going to be a bigger target.
That is
if
true.
She's on the block. Blue would probably be a bigger target. Obviously, a Matt or a Jag would be a way bigger target. A Sari, I don't know. Sari's tough because for whatever reason, nobody thinks that Sari's a big target.
No, but Sari I do think that Sari would go home over her, for sure.
I mean, she should. She's a way better player. And I think people understand that Sari's a better social player. So again, my point is just I think Felicia would not be the biggest target if she's sitting there on the block against anyone on an eviction night. So that's why I think I gave her the 5 that I gave her. Do I think she's going to win? Probably not. But I do think she's got a better chance than Blue and then America. And obviously, she's got a better chance than probably Bowie to win. So she's obviously not in the best position, but I definitely don't think she's in the worst position.
Yeah, 100%. Let's move along to Jag here. So Jag was tough to rate. I gave Jag a 4.5. Maybe I should have went higher. I'm unsure. He could win a lot, but he kind of has to win a lot to keep on making it far. I don't see him being brought to the final two by anyone that isn't Matt or himself. And I think that's, you know, it's a decent bet, but I think it's a lot to bet on that. He's far from the worst position in the house. In fact, he has my third highest rating, mostly because most of the players in this house I don't think are that good. But it's just tough to rate him. I'm unsure how to position him. And I think a lot of his ability depends on how much he's able to win moving along here. So for me, it's a 4.5 for Jag.
I'm actually surprised. I'm surprised you went that low. I mean, I gave him a 6, and I gave him a 6 last week. He's got a big target, and that's an issue. But my whole thing is he really going to lose two competitions in a week to be able to go home? Like, is he going to lose an HOH comp and then lose a veto? Because he's winning everything. If the competitions are going to be as physical as they've been going down the stretch, which history would suggest that they will be, he's almost turning into like a Cameron where I'm like, I just can't see him losing two competitions in a week that would require him to go home. Now, unless he wins like an HOH and he can't play the next week, then it's all on the veto. But still, he's such a good competitor that I think it's just going to be hard to get him out in the first place. It's going to take probably multiple shots to try to get him out because that's how good of a competitor he is. So, and I think he's perfect for what the trend of the competitions are going to be. So I think that's why I gave him a 6. Again, he's shown good things about his social game. He's shown bad things this year about his social games. He's had moments of a very good gameplay and moments of poor gameplay. So I'm indifferent kind of about his social status in that house. But again, I think because he's probably the best competitors or one of the two best competitors in that house right now, I think that's going to play, you know, a very important role in his game moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Trevor gave Jag a 5, so he was kind of split.
So Trevor went down. Trevor had him at a 6 last week, so yeah. Trevor went down on him. I'm curious why Trevor thinks that.
Yep, I would be interested as well. Our final person here to rate is Matt. Matt is currently in the best position in the house. I think Matt has played a really great game. He has ability to win competitions. He's a great social player. He has great relationships with people. I gave him a 7.5, slightly above Sari. I've been very, very impressed with Matt. I think his second half of the game has really, really been very solid. And he's in a great position. The only thing that might really stink is if the wrong person wins HOH and he can't win veto that week, and Jack does. And that could be tough.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be some winning in his future to stay alive. But overall, I really like Matt in terms of his gameplay. And I think he's an incredibly capable player. I think there's a decent shot that he can really win this game, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, just on this podcast alone, you've sold me even more than I've already believed in Matt. And I gave him a 7. You're making me feel like I should maybe bump him up to an 8. I'll keep him at a 7. Him and Sri have 7s for me, but I think he's probably in a slightly better position than Sri, just because he's got more allies.
It's almost like you should give like a half rating, because you don't quite want to go to an 8.
I don't give half ratings, because I give 100% effort all the time. I don't do half effort. So I give a 7 or an 8. I don't give half effort like you and Trevor do. I give full effort all the time. I'm all in.
Right. Well, I mean, some would say giving the half ratings is the truth, and you're lying, because that's not exactly what
you know
think.
What? You've convinced me. I'm changing it to an 8. You're right. I'm changing it to an 8. He's got an 8 for me. You have officially convinced me to give him an 8. Congratulations.
Because
if you give him a 7.5, that just rounds up to an 8 anyway, so you might as well just give him an 8 at that point. Math. There you go. But yeah, I mean, he's a good player. And again, what you have told me is that he's socially, he's been a fantastic player.
He's been really solid. He's built a lot of great relationships.
Yeah, and a lot of times they don't show that on the episode. So you guys probably have a stronger opinion on him than I do. But I think he's, again, people like him. They respect him. He's socially, he's fantastic. Obviously, with competitions, he's a phenomenal athlete in many different ways. So he's been really fun to watch, especially this last month or so, maybe month and a half. Because there was a stretch early on in the year where Trevor was very low on him, and I think you were too, where he was just making kind of some odd decisions, and he was saying some weird things. And I really do think kind of the second half of the game, he's gotten a lot better, a lot stronger. And that's typically what you see with winners. That's what you see with good players. Down the stretch, when it matters, they kind of step up their game, and that's what he's done. So I've been impressed with him. He's been fun to watch, and I'm definitely rooting for him.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. All right, well, I think that'll kind of wrap up the pod for today. A nice, short, sweet one without Trevor. That's sad he's not here, but that's okay. He'll be back next week on this podcast. Of course, we'll be back for Small Baller Podcast, which will be live tomorrow as this comes out Saturday. So it'll be live Sunday, the 22nd, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So stay tuned for that. Of course, subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5-star review if you enjoyed this episode. Go check out our website, thesmallballers.com, so you can stay up to date with everything. And our Twitter, @thesmallballer, for the exact same reason. But with that being said, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode, and we'll see you guys next time.